Well, what was this?
I think it must have been in the middle 40s.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
43 to 40, you know, 44.
We have a letter.
Okay, let's try.
Yeah.
Try that.
This was written December 14th, 1948, just before Christmas. Dear Jimmy and Robert, Alan is just one hop behind himself as I get a letter from me. If you get a letter from me, it'll have to suffice for the present. Alan and Charlie Doig bought a small band of ewes, 1160, and so we had to get busy and prepare the accommodation for them, as well as Charlie and his wife and son. We got two carpenters and did over the old two-room log house.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm, I do, yeah. Remember the place.
We lined it with sheetrock and put in new windows. The carpenters stayed 10 days, and the old building was so off plumb that they had a time of it. After they left, Alan took over and built in a clothes closet and a cupboard and sink. I filled the sheetrock cracks, and as the weather was fast getting bad, they moved in before the house was finished. Did you get cold?
That was the worst winter any of us ever hit in Montana.
Is that right?
Yeah.
For you.
Yeah.
The weather was fast getting bad. They moved in before the house was finished, and so we had quite a family. Charlie and I did all of the painting. We painted walls and all as if so it could be washed. We had planned to get a bunkhouse made out of the old barn, cow barn, for the herder, and a garage built for our car, as well as a hen house erected. But we were just too slow, or else we planned too much. I don't think they ever did get the hen house. Anyhow, we have just been working around the clock, and in one way or another, Alan and I caught up with a couple of swell collies, which we have not been able to check. She loved her dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Like you.
Yeah.
We have about 14 inches of snow on the level, and I don't know where the level is. There isn't much level in that country. And as we have had some terrific blows, the road is almost impassable. We took ourselves out to a Christmas party and stayed over for a chicken dinner the next day. We went in the Jeep, and it took us 3 hours to get there. Charlie Doig went in to take his son to school after the week end and burned out his low, and so right now Alan and I are the only ones present.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
I remember the trip. I don't remember the burning out the gear or whatever. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Charlie will be back as soon as his car gets fixed. We plan to get into Helena sometime before Christmas. Unless they plow the roads out, our Studebaker is parked for the winter, and it is a long, cold trip in the Jeep. Yeah, I think it was 75 miles into Helena.
Yeah.
I used to run Dad out there all the time.
That would be about right,
40 miles into Townsend.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Up that deep creek.
Yeah, deep creek canyon, yeah. Uh-huh.
And Dad was always so anxious to get there. And I did my fastest driving in all my life with my dad, being a teenager.
Urging you on, huh?
I write Barbie every time I can. That's a aunt of ours.
Mm-hmm.
I bought a suit at Bill's a year ago and have not had time to have it altered. It's almost every spare minute we have to spend in town calling on Barbie. Did you ever go into Bill the Nifty Tailor there in Helena?
No, I didn't.
he took care of all of the men.
Yeah.
And had some personal remarks. We read your mother's will very often. Prompted us to write you. Alan and I have taken great pride in our accomplishments here and feel that when things are established on a working basis, we shall have more leisure. Well, evidently, they hadn't been there long at that time.
Well, it sounds like
48.
Mm-hmm. Well, what was the family background on the ranch? Did your dad own the place?
The ranch belonged to the company, the Prescott Company.
The Prescott Company.
And Dad, he bought it several years before that. I don't know just when. And brought some sheep down from Chester.
Mm-hmm.
The main ranch is up at Chester.
Mm-hmm. That's okay.
And put a foreman there that used to work. Oh, what is that man's name? Used to work at Chester.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Lanto.
Charlie who?
Charlie Lanto is who.
Charlie was around all the time.
Yeah, he worked for Alan.
Worked for Alan.
Yeah.
It is unfortunate that the season here is as short as it does limit the output for the year and piles everything up. Alan and I had a great time, a great deal of happiness, and we do love this country and its people.
Yeah.
That ranch, to me, was undesirable. down there in a draw.
Right.
You couldn't see anything. And it got hotter than Hades down there.
No, I always thought it was a terrible site for a ranch.
Right. good fishing, though.
Good fishing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had
good fishing, but
stream.
The road almost plunged down the hill.
Did. You couldn't see it from the road. You had to actually go over to the brink of the hill and drive down in there.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So.
But they did a fabulous job on that house.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guess that thing was just all but shot, and they refurbished it very nicely.
I remember how kind of spiffy everything was.
It looked very nice on the inside.
1963 on there, but Paul did it.
What was the eventual? So the family company sold off the place eventually after?
Sold it to Alan.
Sold it to Alan,
I see.
Okay. And then he sold it to another Prescott, right?
He did. He's
an
area from the East Coast.
No relative.
Yeah, it was a woman.
Yeah.
It was a woman veterinarian from Boston.
Yeah.
And she paid cash for it.
She was said to be quite a character. I never
and
did
I
meet
think
her.
Her. I think her name was Prescott.
Yeah, Scotty Prescott.
Yeah, Scotty Prescott.
Yeah.
She was very well known all over that country.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is that so?
Yeah. I remember.
Well, now, this is another letter from Alan in 63, and I bring this up because he refers to this woman. Evidently,
63.
Alan then had it from, say, 46 or 47
yeah.
to 62 or somewhere in there.
Okay.
12, 13 years or something like that. And,
I can't remember when we were there visiting them.
Huh?
When were we there visiting them?
I think it was 48 or 49.
Mm-hmm.
I have a short clip on a movie that I'll show you. It's the only moving picture we have of Alan.
Oh, okay.
And it just
pretty old and awful.
A short one.
All right, great.
You weren't very good then.
Okay.
And anyway, now this is written from Palm Desert, California.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are in this warm spring climb, sunny climb, waiting for our boat that takes us to New Zealand, starting Friday morning. Our plans were all upset from the start, as we were to fly down Pan Am from Frisco, and our travel agency sent a hurry call saying they had made a mistake. Did they make mistakes?
A few times.
After 2 days, so rushed down. Well, we did, and I caught a terrible flu germ. That's what he's got there now.
Mm.
That hit me so hard, I was afraid to leave the USA. But am much better now. We will go by boat and fly back. I don't know whether you knew that, but he was on an exchange with Australia or New Zealand.
Oh.
On a sheep observation.
Oh, I see. No, I didn't.
Like the thing under the government.
Uh-huh.
Interesting.
Uh-huh.
The girl that bought us out got shot by a deer hunter a little before we left. And was she lucky that she lived? She must have turned her head at just the right time as the bullet hit her cheek bone, going up just back of her eye, across the temple, and up through her cap.
Lord.
We hope to go north and come here when we go home. Seattle, to see all of you. Hope all of you are all well. Merry Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the date on that?
December 63.
Uh-huh. Some beautiful so they pictures had, down there.
Yeah.
Trip. That's beautiful.
Yeah. Did you tell me Alan was born in 99? Or
Alan was born in 97.
97?
Yeah, because he's 14 months older than Alan.
He was 80 years old when he died.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Do you have the obituary of Alan? Do you have that on file someplace?
Yes, well, I have it right here.
Yeah, because that will give you a good...
Yeah.
Probably you already know a lot of it. But this was at the graveside in Helena. Alan would have nothing to do with churches.
Ah.
And our family, most of our family, is... have been church attendees.
Mm-hmm.
So when he died, there wasn't any church, but Kay, our sister, there in Helena, got the minister of her Presbyterian church that she was so active in
mm-hmm.
to officiate at the graveside there in Helena. This is by William A. Burkhart, the minister.
Congregational church.
In Helena. What?
The Congregational Church.
Oh, yeah. Congregational. Mm-hmm. That's right. We are together across the years and miles to honor and pay our respect to Alan Prescott. He was a member of this very special Helena family and a wonderful person in his own right. My remarks will be brief. I think everyone who knows Alan would know that he wouldn't want a lot of talk. Life is often spoken of as a gift. If it is a gift, one way to show appreciation is to use it. Alan certainly used his gift of life to the full and in active ways. Whether we think of his early years here in Helena or the years at the ranch near Chester, or at 16, or in Arizona, or at Flathead Lake, Alan was athletic, active, courageous, inventive, mechanical, hospitable, and had excellent business acumen. He loved the outdoors. Well, that was pretty accurate appraisal.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I remember when I was a little kid, see, I was 10 years younger than he. And he was a pole vaulter in grade school.
Uh-huh.
And he won the competition by vaulting 10 feet, which was really some
accomplishment. Yeah, that was going something. Yeah, right.
Using one of those old bamboo poles. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. Was he built about like you? I was trying to remember what size he was.
A little bit shorter.
Shorter than you, Bob?
A little stockier.
More like Bob.
He got
stockier.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He got a
big one. I got his belt on, which he must have had in his younger years, because I could just barely get it around me. And, you know, he got quite a front on it later on.
Uh-huh.
On such a beautiful day, as we look across the valley to the grandeur of the snow-covered hills, which he so loved and enjoyed, Psalm 121 seems appropriate. I will lift up mine eyes unto the mountains. From whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. There are so many special memories which we have been sharing, and which you will go on sharing while you are together. Like the time when Alan was quite young, and he climbed into the lofts and cupolas of Helena, got young pigeons, and had the business sense to market them at local restaurants. And the time he had the inventive genius to make a snowmobile, long before snowmobiles came along. Well, it had no resemblance to the present snowmobile.
Yeah, okay.
No. Is that what's in the movie, that thing he built?
With
that
the
propeller.
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
I thought it was an early helicopter.
You say it's in a movie?
No. But you have a picture of him somewhere where that thing is going like this. No.
It was up at the ranch, and I never did see it in operation when I was there.
I thought it was in a movie. I think I've seen a picture of it.
Well, wow. I never did.
What?
Hats.
It was in the ranch graveyard up there at Chester. That's where it was.
So.
But what it was.
In essence, it's...
What it was, he sat in this seat, and he had some runners on it, and they had this big propeller. It was from his airplane, wasn't it? Wasn't it from the airplane that
he
had?
It was from an old airplane.
Yeah.
It was from a French fighter plane.
Oh, was it?
And as I remember right, it was one of these rotary things. All the cylinders came out this way, and the whole darn thing turned.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
I would think the vibration would just...
Yeah, right. Yeah. I wanted to ask you about Alan's flying career.
Well, whatever.
Pretty short life.
He didn't much more than solo.
Is that it?
Well, Lurleen was the flyer.
But Lurleen, his wife, his first wife, she flew more.
Oh, I see.
She was pretty good at it. And they would shoot coyotes from the plane and chase these coyotes.
Uh-huh.
And they finally, that came to an end when they landed in a rough field and flipped over upside down.
Uh-huh.
And that was the end of that. They didn't get hurt, but the plane did.
Yeah.
Is that where the motor came from for this?
No. That was a different plane. That was a Stinson, what was it, a four-place Stinson.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. That was a monoplane.
Mm-hmm.
Quite modern.
Yeah. Well, where does Winnie come into the picture here?
Well,
Winnie came in...
36, weren't they married? Marilyn was just a baby. And she was born in 35.
Oh, yeah.
We stood up with them.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Marlene died. She had a I think it was a gallbladder operation and peritonitis set in.
And she died the same year Marilyn was born.
She, I'd forgotten just when, but that's a, that's a.
Was Winnie somebody the family had known?
Yes. You, they've known.
Winnie grew up in Helena.
In Wolf Creek.
They had Arnold had a ranch out there in Wolf Creek, I believe.
Yeah. Father.
What was the last? What was her name?
Arnold.
Oh, Will. Her name. Last name was Arnold.
Winnie's father.
Yeah.
Arnold.
Mr.
Arnold had this ranch, and then what was the brother's name?
John. He was killed in the war. John Arnold was the brother.
Oh,
She was really close to him, wasn't she?
Wasn't he killed in the war?
He what?
Killed in the war.
Or one? Winnie's brother?
In the First World War.
I thought he was.
Maybe so.
Was that a sheep ranch, huh?
I don't know.
And then they had that store, an army store.
Surplus store in Helena.
And riding equipment.
Okay.
But I suspect that Winnie went to high school with my brothers and sisters there in Helena. Because she seemed to be an old friend of the family.
They all knew her.
I guess that's.
And she was quite an equestrian, too. She was very, very good at horses and horsemanship, and she got along very well.
Now, I seem to remember her as a person who seemed kind of, cultured or something. Is that right?
Yes.
Well-read.
She's
very smart and capable. But we didn't see them. We had come out here.
Yeah.
And we're situated out here with... Well, first we lived in Helena when we were first married, and then some family members went in together on the copper roofing business, and we came out here to Seattle in the middle of the Cedar Shake country to put in copper roofs. you can tell how long that lasts.
Okay, well, you never know until you try, right?
That's right.
Okay.
And we lived in, Boyce and I worked for A.B. Dick on the river there for a while. And then when the war started, or before the war started, we came out here and went to work for Boeing. We lived up here on 35th. For a year or 2 years, and then built this house in 41, just before the war.
Yeah, they were saying moved in.
On with the service here, there are so many, we read that, so many special memories. He had an airplane engine. He used an airplane engine and skis and went zipping over the snow at the Chester Ranch. He was one of the first to own a motorcycle. He flew an airplane, both of these back in the early days. He was an excellent mechanic, made a working radio, I remember the headset, and generally was quite innovative in fixing and running equipment on the ranch. Well, you can say that again. He loved livestock, even naming his cows. They came when he called them by name. After he had sold his cattle to another rancher, that's at 16, he visited one time, and going to the fence, called out some names, and the cows came, much to the astonishment of their new owner.
He did that when we were there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had some gray
cows. Yeah, now that you mention, I can remember
he had some
that.
Gray cows up there that he did that.
Yeah.
He had a few grandma cows.
Yeah.
Is that what you said? Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I think it's on that movie, just a flash of the...
Okay.
After enjoying... Oh, Alan enjoyed getting up into the hills, did a good deal of prospecting, and always enjoyed taking friends and family on rough jeep rides in the high country. Family and friends remember his generous hospitality at his home on Flathead Lake. Well, after Winnie died, he was a pretty lonely man.
Mm-hmm.
And he had that nice home up there at Bigport. And so he'd invite different members of the family to come up and stay. And he just really put on the spread.
Uh-huh.
Much more could be said. Alan was a stockman who was proud to be in Montana and was interested in this state's life and development. Those who have been closest to him are living with a great sense of loss. Though 80 years seems a long time, life really goes by so quickly. And how? As we here commit his body to his final resting place near his place of birth, within view of the hills he loved, and in the presence of his family and friends, we have a sense that his life has come full circle. We are grateful that his spirit lives on in
the minds and hearts of those who have known and loved him, and in the presence of God. Here is a prayer I wrote one time up in the hills, along with a few lines from a prayer that was shared by a family member from out of town. O God, we are grateful for beauty and grandeur all around us in our beloved Montana. Sometimes burdened and discouraged, we have walked woodland trails and found strength in the quiet stamina of twisted pine and spruce, growing round deadfall, lifting new needles above lightning's ugly scars. In such moments, a deep awareness, more profound than words can touch, has come willingly within. And we have known that the inexhaustible resources of healing and new growth are available to us. So we pause with open minds, sensing that forgiveness and the renewal of our spirits lead on toward hope and promise and eternal life. As we go through this week, Palm Sunday to Easter, we sense that it symbolizes the pilgrimage of the soul. It is a journey of hope and promise, but not without pitfalls and pain. Guide us in our travels. Amen.
Okay. Well, thanks for reading that.
Wasn't that nice?
Yeah, it certainly was. On you're talking about Alan's mechanical ability in there. That's one thing I wanted to ask you about. A family, an Alan story, which my dad loved and told. As I can remember it, Alan had an old Hudson Terraplane cut down into a kind of a fencing vehicle, cut the back out of it or something, there in the 16 country, and used it to go out and fix fence in, stuff like that. And he got out there one day and got it hung up on a cut bank, looked and thought, well, geez, if I can just pry it down a little bit, if I leave it in gear, it'll crawl itself off. And it got away from him. Out on the prairie there. Did you ever hear that?
No, I don't think I've heard that story.
Okay,
no.
Okay.
That's a story. That isn't
yeah, may, might have been. Might have been.
He was embarrassed to
yeah,
tell.
Yeah. But he chased that car, and the car chased him, I guess, at some points, too, was part of it, too. So my dad had come on to him pretty soon after that, you know, and he said, Alan said, you know, that's the damnedest thing he'd ever had happen to him was his car getting away from him out there. So, But that ties in with the mechanical kind of inclination he had, I guess.
Yeah. Well, he did, as I understand it, went 2 years to Bozeman and wanted to get an associate degree, not a 4-year degree, but a 2-year degree.
Mm.
And a lot of that was in the mechanics. And I don't know how much the livestock at the time. I think he learned that up at the ranch. But that's what he did.
The short course in agriculture.
Right.
And I know he learned surveying there.
I don't know. Did he go into the family ranching business pretty promptly after that then?
Yeah. And then the war came along, and Harold
World War
went in first. You see, Harold was 2.5 years older than Alan. And then Harold joined the Army.
Marines.
First World War.
Yeah, first World War.
He was in the Marine Corps.
Second Division Marine, the same division that was over there.
He was in France.
He was he was in the hospital for a while. He was gassed. He was in the Army of Occupation, so he had to stay over there quite a while after the thing was over.
And then
Alan, well, even then, Alan didn't take charge, because Alan wasn't quite old enough yet. So there's a man named Goff. He was a big, burly, outgoing sort of guy, and he was a very good man with men, handling men. And he ran the ranch for I don't know how many years. And when Harold came back from the Marines, then the boys took over, and Alan had what they called the lower ranch, and Harold went up to the upper ranch, which is 9 miles farther up in the hills.
This is in the Chester country.
Yeah, in the Sweetgrass Hills.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay.
And the lower ranch was they raised a lot of alfalfa down there, and irrigated. Harold married his old sweetheart that he knew in school. In fact, she was a grandmother of Cornelius Hedges, who was in Helena as an attorney in 1864, when Helena was first started. And as I understand it, he was a part of the party that went to the Yellowstone country and first talked up the idea of making a park out of it.
That early expedition, When did the Prescotts hit Montana?
1895. 1883. Dad came up from Colorado. He was born and raised in New Hampshire, near Bath, New Hampshire, or there.
What was his name?
Alonzo.
Alonzo.
Alonzo Knapp Prescott. I wrote a story of his life. If you'd like to read it. As a young man, he had been worked awfully hard by his mother, picking up rocks and building these stone walls in New England, you know.
Good for the soul.
Yeah.
His health began to tell on him, so he left home, and he got work in Boston, working in the grocery store. And they worked him hard, too. But then he got a job as a school teacher, and I have a couple of the letters granting him the job on this fancy handwriting by the principal. And he taught at least 2 years. I don't know any more than that. Then he decided he was going to clear out and go west. And my sister-in-law told me Harold's the wife that Dad gave his what his possessions he had, what money he had, to his sisters, and he came out to Colorado and landed. Well, some say Pueblo, and some say
Durango.
What's that?
Durango.
Durango, yeah. Uh-huh. And he got a job in a grocery store there for a while. Then there was a gold struck at Rico, which was 70 or 80 miles across the mountains from there. So he bought up a lot of groceries and piled them on donkeys and mules and took that over to Rico and set up a store there. And eventually built a store, mm-hmm. started in a tent, but they built the store, and he became the first postmaster of Rico. And people, the miners there, would leave money with him there to, for safekeeping, mm-hmm. and he was there for about, I don't know, probably 10 or 12 years, I'm not sure. But in 83, he read in the paper where there was a couple in Montana that wanted a bright young man with some money to invest in the marble business. And so we don't have much, any information on that coming up to Helena, except that he arrived apparently from the west. And there was a mile gap in the NP rails at that time, in 83.
Mm-hmm.
And he hired a man to help him carry his trunk over to the other side to go into Helena.
Huh.
And he looked up this couple and found that the father, the husband had died, and this woman didn't know what to do. She was distracted. And he said, well, I don't know anything about the marble business, but I'll learn. So he evidently had enough money. He went back east and went to a school, a craftsman's school, and learned about cutting marble, mm-hmm. about cutting letters and that sort of thing, and whatever else he had to learn for that type of business. And then he hired at least one man to come back with him, an experienced marble cutter. Came back to Helena and set up shop. And he was in the marble business for about 15 years. And he, in the summertime, would go in his buggy or on a horseback and cover the western part of the state, all the logging camps and the towns, mm-hmm. and take orders for monuments and mm-hmm. stones. And evidently it was a thriving business, because in 10 years' time, he wrote for my mother, who was in Bath, New Hampshire, to come out. And, well, he went back, and they were married in her church, a congregational church there in Haverhill. And then a few years later, he met a man in a what was the hotel there in Great Falls?
Rainbow?
Yeah. That was an owner of a sheep ranch up the Sweetgrass mm-hmm. Hills. And he bought partnership with him right there without even looking at the ranch. He I don't know whether he knew this guy and had confidence that he probably did.
Yeah.
It wasn't long before he bought him out.
Oh, so that's where that property came in, huh? Uh-huh.
And Dad, I come from a real heritage. Dad was a strictly honest man, he never gave a mortgage on anything. He borrowed all the money he needed for operations, just on his word. And he's highly respected in town. Mm-hmm. And something to be thankful for.
Yeah.
He was also, I believe, the first president of the Montana Wool Growers.
Oh, the Wool Growers? Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
So, he's a pioneer there, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And you were heavily into sheep on the...
Predominantly
sheep, huh?
Cattle and sheep.
Mm-hmm.
He liked the sheep. When the boys came along, they wanted cattle. So for a few years, they raised both, apparently fairly successfully.
Well, in the White Sulphur County, we used to say you had to raise sheep to afford to be a cowboy.
That's right.
So maybe there's some of that going on. But, okay. Good. I was going to ask you, do you know how Alan got to going to Arizona for winters? Is that just to get away from Montana winters or something?
Yes.
I guess that was it.
Well, he liked geology too.
Oh, that's right. If he was
the mining
prospecting,
geology,
that's right.
He really liked that part of it, and that was fascinating to him. So that was kind of a natural.
Isn't that something that Winnie really liked too?
Yeah.
She was really into that. And didn't they have a little claim down there somewhere?
They had a Geiger counter. They went around looking.
Oh, is that it? So they were.
Well, they had a claim up in Montana.
Oh, I thought they had a little claim down in Arizona that they'd go and work every winter.
They had a claim at Avon.
I don't know of.
You know where Avon is on the way to Deer Lodge?
Yeah.
From Garrison and Deer Lodge?
Uh-huh.
Well, up in the hills there.
Uh-huh.
By Huntsville and up that area.
Uh-huh.
That's where he had a claim.
In Arizona country, there are still people doing hobby prospecting.
Yeah. Yeah, Carol took a picture of a Prospectors Association out of Wickenburg.
What was that?
Out of Wickenburg, there's still a lot of folks who come down for the winter and just have fun on doing some little prospecting.
Sure.
Yeah, kind of a Prospectors Claim Association about 15 miles out of Wickenburg when we were down there this winter. She took pictures of. So.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. Well, could we see your movie?
Oh, it's not very big.
It lasts about 3 minutes.
Okay.